morning, everyone. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day you give us, Lord. The warmer temperatures, Lord, the sunshine, Lord, the winds, Lord, all of it, Lord. We just thank you so much for it, for the opportunity, Lord, to get here today, to be in your house, to worship you. Thanks for those that made it, Lord, the time fellowship we've had so far, going through our Sunday school hour, Lord, and anticipate some more time in your word along with our pastor today. Lord, guide and direct. Help us all, Lord. Have open ears and open hearts, Lord, for what you've laid on our pastor today as he brings forth your message for us. Praise you, Lord, for our great nation we live in. We know its problems, Lord. We pray, Lord, that our leaders might turn and they might seek your advice, Lord, on running this nation. Be with us all here today, Lord. Just may we have a good time together with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may see, you're already be seated, but let's stand, please, and turn to 417. 417.
It is well.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's see. Congregational singing. Okay. A love that will not let me go. Do we have a number for that?
It's in the bulletin, I believe.
Is it?
It's in the blue books. It's in the bulletin and on the board, I think.
Okay. I guess we're going up there then, folks. Oh, there it is. Let our ladies get going here, and we'll go. Thank you. Page 67. Go ahead, Barb. I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to write that down. Here we go.
Oh, love that will not let me go.
Thank you. Let's see. We got a few announcements here. Make sure you come back tonight for evening service at 6 o'clock. Requested message night. Let Pastor know if you're interested in a baptismal membership class. Got a few folks that might be in line for that. We're no longer having open exercise here in our Sunday school. Classes are going to begin at 9:30 in the morning in our own areas. Our drama team is going to meet on the 21st at 6 o'clock. Personal evangelism is going to meet on the 22nd. Iron Sharpens Iron will meet on the 27th for breakfast at All-American Diner at 8:30 in the morning. There's a Valentine Fellowship on the 27th. Kitchen team is Kim and Sharon. So please get your reports in to Deb by the end of the month for our annual business meeting coming up. And it is March 9th. Also, agenda items for the annual meeting needs to be in by March 6th. Please give them to Pastor and Deb. I got a couple other things to read here. Let's see. Ladies Bible study on the 26th at 10 o'clock in the morning. If you have any questions on that, make sure you call Beth. See, if you're planning to go to the study, call ahead if you need to. Be sure it's being held and not canceled because we've got some pretty bad weather maybe this week. So you have to wait and see. Also, our condolences are out to the Ship family in their loss. And I was asked to read this card here today. Your kind expression of sympathy is deeply appreciated and gratefully acknowledged by the family of Jerry Sipp Sr. Thank you for your prayers, fellowship, love, and the message. She's got Ephesians 2:6 there. Thank you, Judy. And let's see. And also, Pastor's Thought for the Week. One of the acute symptoms of the sin pandemic is not being seen in church. Whew. Okay, good stuff there. Because of the COVID situation, we're still placing our offerings in the back plate there. So if you feel the need to, please do so. And let's pray for that right now. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for getting us here today. Beautiful day that it is, Lord, and those that have showed up. Lord, so much that you've done for us. You do it daily, Lord. Many times we take advantage. But, Lord, we have a small time now, Lord, to take up a small piece of what you've given to give back to you, Lord. May we do so and do it hilariously, Lord, and lovingly. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be a pastor who's about to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Kate Hune has special today.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Thank you. I was going through memories and treasures today. Found your love letters I'd hidden away. There was tender emotion with each stroke of your pen. I opened the letters and read them again. I counted the gifts you had given so free. You never stopped giving with no word from me. They were wrapped in silk ribbons with notes marked in red. I turned through the pages and here's what you said. Remember, I love you with the love I have loved you. I'd like to claim you, name you my own. Remember, I love you with the love I have loved you. When you doubt that I do, count the tears scattered through my love letters to you. By the light of a candle, I picked up my pen. Words don't come easy. How do I begin? Oh, I pray I've not waited too long to reply. Angel, bear my letter to my love in the sky. I just read your answer with tears in my eyes. The stage has been set for the groom and the bride. Oh, I shudder to think just how sad life would be if I'd never read your love letters to me. Remember, I love you. Heart and soul, Lord, I love you. I'd like to claim you, name you my own. Remember, I love you. Heart and soul, Lord, I love you. When you doubt that I do, count the tears scattered through my love letters to you.
Man, thank you, Kay. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful reminder. And of course, I'll just say this. Kim has told me she have saved some of my love letters from our teen years, but the only problem is she can't read them. My writing, you know, some of you know that. But let me show you something here, folks. This is what Kay was singing about this morning. This is God's love letter right here, His Word. It's legible, it's readable, it's receivable. And so I greet you this morning because of this love letter that God gave to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church. I want to let you know I'm glad you're here. It gets very boring preaching to the walls if there's not a crowd here. And I like to see that. And I'm thankful today that we have some visitors with us. You know, I am going to be posting in the near future some positions here at Fruitland that are going to be opened up here. And it's for cheerleaders. I think we need some cheerleaders here at Fruitland because I don't think we're very fired up. Let's get fired up! Amen. Let's get fired up!
Amen.
You're getting closer. We are fired up, right? We need to be fired up about this, but I'm glad for everyone that's here, and I greet you in Jesus' name. It's a wonderful day. Who could complain today about anything? Seriously? Come on. It's a nice day. It warmed up 3 degrees just on the way down here this morning from home. It is a great day. It is a great day to be alive. It's a great day to belong to the King and be under His love. This morning, amen. This morning, we're going to continue on in part two of a message that we began last week about love. And this is not a story, it's an account. It's a biblical account of a love story. It's the story of Boaz and Ruth. And if you have your Bibles or your devices today, turn to either one of those, to the book of Ruth. This is what this is about. And let me just say this today, we struggle with human relationships. Every one of us do. We struggle in our relationships to the Lord as well. But one of the good things, folks, that we can take heart from God's Word is that He loves us dearly. He loves every one of us in this room today dearly. He loves every person that's ever been on this planet dearly. And He wants to see you have a story like we find here in the book of Ruth. That story of Ruth and Boaz and how God interacted with Naomi, with the whole situation, with the loss of their husbands. You know, maybe today you're despondent in your life or you're discouraged or you're depressed. Well, let me just say this. God has a message for every one of us. maybe in one of those relationships that we're in today, whether it be husband and wife, parent, child, grandparent, friends, brother, sister, whatever the relationship is here, boss to employee. Let me say, God wants to write a love story about the situation that you're in today. If you'll what? If you'll let him. And you know, we see how this opened here in this story about Boaz and Ruth. And the background of that, it opened with tragedy, didn't it? With people losing their lives. A father, two sons. We see the mother and the wife of Elimelech. And Naomi was what? She was angry with God. She was bitter. But let me just say this today, folks, as we look through this account. God can change the spots on the leopard if he desires. And your situation and my situation is not hopeless if we put God in the center of it. There's the key message we could leave right there. But there's a lot of good things that we glean from the scriptures as we look into them. Welcome again this morning. Let's go to prayer. We're going to hit the ground running. No, we don't have a specific scripture reading this morning, but we're going to look at it together as we work through the book of Ruth. Let's pray together and we'll get on our way. Father, thanks once again for a great group of folks out this morning. I pray today, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I know, Lord, there are all kinds of conditions of the human experience that are found in this room this morning. We know this, Lord, there may be the sting of death, and we experienced that this week in some of the lives here, and not just this week, but many times. There could be critical illnesses. There could be transitions that people are going through today. There could be a husband and wife that are torn apart this morning, or children in a family situation with their mother and father, all kinds of things that are part of the sin-cursed human experience. But today, Lord, you're the God of all hope. And none of us are without hope. And every one of our situations, if we'll walk with you and place you in the center of it, you'll use it. Lord, you're the God of all possibilities. I love that about you. We just never know how you're going to work in things. But help us, Lord, to be trusting you for the whole outcome of all things. And Lord, that we would get ourselves into alignment with you this day and in the days to come, as we anticipate that one of these days you're going to come in the air for your people. And so, Lord, our world around us desperately needs us to set the example of biblical love and of speaking biblical truth in love. And I pray today, Lord, that we would not leave here the same. We know this, Lord, a response is required, and there will be a response in every person here today, whether we move forward with you or we reject it and walk out the same and walk further away from you. So I pray to that end today. I pray for a soul to be saved today, Lord, that has never been under your love and found your love, that you'll call them out this day, Lord, and they'll come into that personal relationship with you and enjoy the love story that you have for them. Now, Lord, I'm the one that's the weak link in the chain. You know that. But I pray that you'll anoint my lips today, Lord. I am weak, but you are strong. Help me, Lord, to speak this effectively for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, first of all, today, if you did not save this from last week, your note sheet, there is not one in the bulletin today. There is one in back. It's not on the screen today. I know that we have ushers or usher that would help you this morning to get one of those if you need it. And I'm not going to go back through the introduction of this message, but you can on your own as you read through the Word of God. It's very clear what was taking place. But this message is alliterated with M's. And so today we're going to begin with the third M. The first two were the mystery and the matching. And I introduced this message in this respect, that all of us may have woken up from a dream before and said, how did I end up where I am? How did I end up with the person that I married or the family that I'm in? You as a young person here today might say, how did I ever end up with parents like I ended up with? Or in the situation I ended up with? And we explored some of the things that took place here in this account of the family of Naomi and Elimelech, and how they really had taken a journey because of a drought rather than trusting God to stay in Israel. And they probably made quite a few mistakes before God, like all of us do. But, you know, God was still working. And I want to encourage us today to let us be confident that God can fix the troubles that we have. You know, we live in a day today where people like to have a lot of excuses for not being able to perform and to not accomplish the things that we should. And you know what? We live in a culture of failure. But the God of the Bible is not a God of failure. He's a God of triumph. And whatever situation you find yourself in here this morning in this room, or the community around us, or in the world today, there is a solution. It can be fixed through Jesus Christ. And we are people of hope, and we need never doubt what God can do in our lives. Well, last week we kind of saw the love story here of how God put Ruth and Boaz together. And so today we'll pick up that context with point three, which is the meeting. So let's go this morning to Ruth 2, verses 8 through 14. Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, as soon as I clear my throat. And here's what we find. You remember what took place in point two last week? Boaz happened to see Ruth, and she caught his eye, right? And she was doing what? Working. She was driven to earn her own keep. She was out gleaning the fields behind the harvesters, and it just so happened that she was in whose field? Boaz. And let me say this morning, if we're walking with the Lord, there are no mistakes. He has our pathway very well laid out for those he loves. Anyway, we'll pick up the context with verse 8, because now we see the meeting take place where they begin to interact with each other. Some of you that still remember when the romance in your life was young may be able to account and compare with some of the things that took place here. We talked last week about a spark, right? It only takes a spark to get that fire going. And so now we're going to see how the spark literally leads to fire. Verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." So Boaz, he sees Ruth, and he says, you know what, this is something special here. This lady is out trying to feed herself. She's an industrious lady. You remember last week, his field hand said, hey, this lady gets up early, and she works late. And she was doing this harvesting not only to feed herself, but to feed her mother-in-law, Naomi, right? And so she was out there, and she was a go-getter. Not in a wrong way, though. Not in a wrong way, and we'll see that borne out. So he says, you know what, Ruth, you stick close to my maidens, to the ladies, again, that are associated with my household, and you keep going with them, and you're going to be well taken care of. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And so Boaz right away took Ruth, I struggled with that last week as well, took Ruth under his wing, and he set this up, and he says, I've got you taken care of here. You go out and do these things, and I'll see that no one does you harm. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? She says, why is this going on? Why are you treating me in this manner? And Boaz answered and said unto her in verse 11, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Boaz was impressed by Naomi's what? By Ruth's what? We know the ethic that she had, but also now we see a spiritual side to this, don't we? You see that she is caring for her mother-in-law in this situation. She has a noble way that she operates. And folks, that was attractive to Boaz. She was refreshing. And you know, that's the thing today, folks. If you're in a relationship or contemplating a relationship, how well do you exude and display the qualities of God in your life to those around you? I know we live in a very coarse day and age, but I'll tell you what, the qualities, the virtues of God still are attractive, both to women and to men in our day. As I said last week, if you're looking for a mate, don't go to a bar to find a mate. Look for a spiritual person And the best place to start is where? In a Bible-believing local church. Go looking where the quality is. And Boaz recognized this in Ruth, and he was attracted to that. By the way, if you're in a relationship today, as a lady or a man, and there's a difficulty in your love story with that, go back to God's basics. Operate the way He wants. It'll become much more attractive to you, and your relationship will flourish if He's in the center. Well, Boaz answered, and did I read verse 11? Yes, I did. So verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under the whose wings thou art come to trust. And that idea of wings translated in this era also to the caretaking of this situation, like with what we're going to find with Boaz. He was a part and a picture of Jesus Christ in this, how that when we come under the wings of the Lord Jesus, we find security and prosperity in Him. Verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, and though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her a parched corn, or wheat is what that actually was. And she did eat, and was sufficed, and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men. This is the background here. He told them what? Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. In other words, the sheaves were the harvested grain that these men had taken out of the field. And ordinarily, when you've harvested that grain and they're in bundles, that's what the word sheave or shiv means. You would leave that alone because that's harvested and it's ready to be threshed, and you wouldn't want to disturb it. And Boaz says, let her even work among the harvested grain and collect some of that. I want to be sure that she is well cared for as she goes back to her mother-in-law. Verse 16, and let some fall also, and excuse me, I'm having a hard time reading this morning, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, or on purpose, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. And so we see here in this situation the first real encounter that that Ruth and Boaz had. And it's a tender encounter, isn't it? Can you remember back to your first love? I'm talking in the physical sense here. Mine's still with me there, back in those seats. But you know, there's some wonderful moments that we can return to as a love begins to be sparked. I want to ask us too, as we think about that today, what about your love story with the Lord Jesus Christ? What are the tender moments that you have where Jesus came to you, just like Boaz here? Boaz was a prototype of Jesus Christ, the coming Lord. And he has done such wonderful things, and you have those wonderful memories. You know, as we go through life, sin and the effects of age and so on and so forth that we come under, it tends to dim those memories. But I encourage you today to take time and see that rekindled with the Lord Jesus, your love story with Him. And of course, if you don't have a love story with Jesus today, today's the day to see that come, to see how much Jesus loves you, and to see how attractive He is to be the Lord of your life. That's what He wants. He wants this to turn out well. And if you've read the rest of the story, we know that this is going to turn out very well. Again, because God ordained it. And let me say this, folks, He wants to lead your life as well. If you'll do it His way, it will work out. It will work out. It will work out. Amen. Who's the first applicant for a cheerleader? I get excited about this. I really do. I mean, I've seen it happen in my life. If you haven't seen it happen, it can happen. I'm talking with Jesus. We can have that kind of an exciting adventure with Him. And as we walk through the troubled territories, folks, He turns it around into something that's great. You know? We just have to have the faith and the enthusiasm to trust Him to get to the end of the journey. We talked about that in our junior senior high class this morning. The Israelites fooled around for 40 years in the wilderness. They could have had the milk and honey land across the Jordan River, but they didn't want to do it God's way, folks. if we'll do it God's way, it's a guarantee, not from me, but a guarantee from His Word. He will take over and He'll see you through. His tenderness will be watching out for you, and it'll be a great thing. Amen, Larry. Praise God. I'm excited. I am. I'm always excited about God's Word. That takes us to the fourth point. That was the meeting Boaz and Ruth met. Isn't that a sweet thing? Oh, absolutely. Now we find the making of the marriage. So I did read a few extra words or verses over, and we really should have started in 2:12, but let's pick up the context in 17, and we're going to go through 3:9. And there is some overlap in these, and you'll notice that on your note sheet. You'll just have to look beyond that. A little technical problem there. But now we want to see the making of the marriage. So that was the meeting, now the making, and how this is going to take place. Beginning with verse 17, chapter 2. So she gleaned the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, here's an interesting thing about measures. For most people, it takes one omer of barley or grain to have a day's worth of food. So let's do the math on this. If she only needed one omer, there are how many omers in an ephah? I'll give you the answer to that. There's 10. So what is the thing here that happened already in this situation? The word is called blessings. And how much food did she go home with that day? She went home with 10 times her needs, again, to Naomi. Now, some of this was, again, brought by Boaz, we know in the flesh, because of his instructions. But let me ask you something this morning. Have you ever lacked when you walked with God? Honestly, have you ever lacked when you walked with God? I'll tell you what, folks, that's a foundational principle in this love story. God takes care of His people. No, you may not be like some of the people I've visited about with a few folks here lately. You know, I don't have two Rolls Royces in my garage. Some pastors do. I do have an old International pickup. But you know what? God supplied my needs through His riches and glory in Christ Jesus perfectly. And He will do the same for you. And that's another picture here in Ruth. Now we got to roll on here. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. In other words, she ate a tenth or one omer. One omer, right? Yes. But she had a whole ephah, 10 omers, and she brought and presented this to Naomi. And anyway, her mother-in-law said unto her, verse 19, "Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee." And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought or worked today is Boaz." Now remember, what was the environment that Ruth brought this grain back to Naomi in? What was Naomi's situation here? She was bitter. She was likely angry with God. She'd lost her husband. She'd lost her two boys. Is there a reason, folks, to be bitter in that kind of a situation? Well, let's talk about that a minute. Yes, it can cause us to be bitter if we aren't what? If we aren't, again, considering God's hand in those things that we see as bad. Was it a tragic thing? Absolutely. But can God triumph over tragedy? Absolutely. And you know what? This whole story was not just about Ruth and Boaz, but it was about Naomi. See? Because God changed her attitude. You'll see this as we go through this account. By the way, if we don't get done this morning, we'll come back a third week. Has anyone got problems with that? If you do, I got time to counsel this week if you have problems. But God's going to work a miraculous thing, not just in the life of Ruth and Boaz, but He's going to work it not only in the life of Naomi, He's going to work it in the whole community, and He's going to work it even to this day. Because you're going to find out, you already know this if you read it, this whole thing was of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity came from this lineage. By the way, we think there's a lot of troubles, you know. Also, the lineage preceding Boaz came from a lady named Rahab, widely accounted to be a prostitute that God used. You get on board with God today, no matter where you're at, and you walk with Him, it's going to be fantastic. I didn't say it'd be easy. I didn't say it'd be smooth, but the outcome of what takes place when we walk with God is fantastic. And you just never know how God's going to work. Your situation today, however desperate it is, let me tell you, God can change that. And He can change it starting today. Amen. Now, where did I leave off? Verse 20, right? And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord." By the way, this was a rescue point for Naomi. Naomi had little hope as they journeyed back to Bethlehem. But now she's beginning to see once again, there is hope in my life. And she understands this. And she says, "Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." Who'd she give credit here to? Not Boaz, but God. Amen. And Naomi said unto her, "The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen." Wow! Talk about a unique situation. We talked a little bit last week. It's called Levirate marriage. It's where families took care of widows. By the way, you heard me last week. I don't want to rehash things, but God told us through the Apostle James and other places in His Bible who are high priorities with Him. Widows, people that have lost their spouse, and children who have no parents. The widows and the orphans are a special place that God's people, known as the church, should be actively involved in. She says, "He's a near kinsman. This is more than I could have ever anticipated," because you know what? By the Levitical laws, he's our what? I'm going to use this with a little S. He's our Savior. He's got the wherewithal to help us. We're two widows with nothing. We can barely eat. But Boaz is our Savior. You see, Boaz is a picture of Jesus Christ. That's how we are, folks. We're helpless apart from Jesus Christ. But He's near to us. He becomes our near kinsman. He cares about us today. He loves us today. He's tender with us. He wants us to walk with Him today. And to get excited. Right? Any volunteers for cheerleaders? There's no pay. Pay's all going to come later. Yeah. Well, I think we need something. I personally don't think we need cheerleaders. I just think we need to get fired up on the Lord. I think we're in desperate need of it. Probably the truth is we could almost all fit into this position this morning. We're shook up about something, we're depressed about something, and we're not letting Jesus have His way. You let Him have His way, He's our near kinsman, He'll deliver you today. Verse 21, "And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also," forgive me this morning, I'm having a hard time seeing, "Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest." And he, you know, we heard that. "And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field." By the way, Naomi encouraged good things here. Boaz was a godly man. What could Boaz have done in this situation? You have women that are desperate. You have a good-looking chick, I assume, like Ruth. He's a powerful man. But he was a godly man. He could have taken advantage. See? But Naomi encouraged her not to do things that were wrong. She says, stick with his maidens. Keep this in a proper perspective, because Boaz is a godly man. So what did she do? Resist what her mother-in-law said? No. Verse 23, "So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." By the way, folks, did you hear that? She found Boaz was not a young man. He was probably 25 years older than she was. She found a godly man from all, at least the observations so far that we see here. They met one another. And what M are we under here? The making of the marriage. Folks, we got a problem today in our culture. People are getting things mixed up from the way God wants it to be. We don't hook up with someone until we do it God's way. That's what the Bible says, folks. That's what the Bible says. Anyway, we got to go through 3:9. And where did I leave off here? 3. I was further into that, wasn't I? 3:1? Okay. Oh, there it is. Yes, there it is. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" In other words, she wants to have this security. And that word rest really comes as another picture of salvation. You know, when we enter into salvation with Jesus Christ, when we receive him, when we accept his gift, we really, this is something we should, I've taught on it before, we enter into God's Sabbath of rest. Our salvation is a rest. It's protection. We come under his wings, you see. And you know that old song, "Under his wings I am safely abiding." And that's what Naomi's desire was here. "And now it is not Boaz of our kindred, whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." So she says, you know what? There's another step that takes place in this Leverite marriage. You need to go visit Boaz on the threshing floor tonight, because there is protocol in our culture as to how this works when we deal with a near kinsman. By the way, Jesus calls us to salvation, but we also must respond and come to him as well. Correct? Because God doesn't force us. Jesus doesn't force us into a relationship. He calls us, but we need to accept. And that's what's going to take place here in this making of the marriage. I got to go through 3:9. And now, verse 2, "And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." By the way, what does winnowing mean? Winnowing was done with a shovel. It's actually a fork. It's a shovel. How many of you have had your hands on a scoop shovel before? Well, I have a lot. This is one of my popular things in our modern world. I say, can you hold your hand like this and like this? Perfect! This shovel will fit them. But it's more appropriately a winnowing shovel or fork. And what it is, it's shaped like a shovel with a handle, but it has spears on it. And what they did, they would take the barley that was not completely threshed, but they'd be on a threshing floor, and a threshing floor always had open doors with a lot of concentrated breeze that blew through there. And so what they would do is they'd fork up the straw mixed with the grain, they'd throw it into the air, the straw and the chaff would blow away, and the grain eventually would be threshed and separated. The old-fashioned version of our modern-day combine. By the way, you wonder where the word combine comes from in the farms. Anyone know? A combine is a combination of a harvester and a separator. Any of you know that? They used to call them a picker-sheller when they first developed it. But that it's a combination, but that's the winnowing shovel. That was extra today, no charge. So Naomi says to Ruth in verse 3, "Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor." Now, let me just say this. In the Greek word, it's the word kosmio with a K. We get the modern day word from that, cosmetics. It's not wrong to make yourself look good. It's not wrong to take a bath. Maybe some people have a... Let's face it, folks, when your teeth are green, it does not make you that attractive to the potential partner. So Naomi says, "Ruth, take a bath, put on some cosmio." The word cosmio in the Greek means adorn. Adorn. But that's where we get the word cosmetics. And some of us need to wear God, well, we all need to wear God's cosmetics. You know, don't worry so much about the, I don't want to use brand names, By the way, I don't wear cosmetics. I do use extra hold hairspray. And that's a fact. You can touch it today. Day like today, I'll tell you what. But there is something to that about making yourself attractive. But attractions on the outside are not the basis of all this. Because Boaz already knew what? There was something special here with Ruth. Anyway, verse 4. Well, did I finish 3? But not make thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. Let me just say this as well today, folks. And I really do believe this, and I believe there's a biblical basis in it. But guys, if you got a woman chasing you, you better be careful. It should be the man that pursues a woman. Because it will speak volumes of what will come if you get involved in a relationship. And it goes back to Jesus again. He comes for us, doesn't he? Yeah. See, we got that wrong so many places today that we are the ones that decide when to get saved. No, we are called by the Lord. Something to remember about how these things work. Naomi was... Kim, what are you going to do with me? Ruth was there, but Boaz is going to be the one that pursues this. Ladies, don't pursue men. Wait for the man. Make yourself available if that's the case in these love stories, but be careful. Verse 4, and it shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Now, what would most daughter-in-laws say about their mother-in-law? That crazy old woman, what is she thinking about here? But folks, this was the process. It was the protocol of how a near kinsman was approached by a lady. We need to be in order before Christ when we approach him. We really do. But he says, come to me. Run to him today. But we need to understand what's taking place here. That it is Jesus, or in this case, Boaz, that is going to approach her. So let's see how this shakes out. By the way, most of you men, if you woke up and your feet were uncovered at night... Well, Boaz was shocked too. We'll see that here in just a minute. So she went, verse 6, and she went down under the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, by the way, he was not drunk, he went to bed satisfied. Do any of you like to do that, have a good meal? That's the quickest way to go to sleep, isn't it? Yep. And he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man, in the King James it says, was afraid, but he was startled because he woke up from cold feet. And he turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet, and he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And this is where we got before what we talked about, the word rest. She said, I want to be under your wing. I want you to be the one who saves me and helps me. And that, again, is a picture of Christ. So that brings us to the fifth point this morning, and just a few minutes left. And we may come back another week. But that was the making of the marriage. So now we pick up the context. And as I said, there's a little discrepancy there, an overlap, starting with verse 7. But let's go to verse 10. And he said, blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or poor. You see, Boaz had observed how Ruth operated. And he was all in favor of this, especially the way she went about this with the protocol in this Levitical tradition of near kinsmen and the marriage. And now, my daughter, he says to her, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a... You want to be involved in a good relationship? Men and women both, do it the right way. Do it the right way. Virtue, godliness, godly traits. It'll make all the difference. Ruth had a reputation as being a virtuous woman. Boaz had a reputation of being a godly, virtuous man. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Let's put this in terms of the flesh. A beautiful young lady presents herself to you. You've seen her. The spark has been lit. And so what would you do? Most men would say what? Get her before she's what? Before she's gone. But you know what? Boaz was a godly man. Boaz was also an intelligent man. He knew. He was informed about what was going on. He says, you know what, Ruth? There is someone closer to me than to your family. And again, the family here, there was a double thing here, not only with Naomi as her mother-in-law, but with her husband. See, that was the tie. So there was a double thing here. If Naomi was brought into this, Ruth also would be, or if Ruth was, Naomi would also be. Because it went back to the family. And Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion. So that was the tie here, okay? But Boaz is a man of character and quality here. He says, yes, I'm your near kinsman, but I'm not the nearest. So tarry this night, wait, in other words, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do that kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until morning. Or wait. I'll also say this, folks, with the exception of the Lord, today is the day of salvation. We need to go to our Savior today. If you need him, go to him now. 2 Corinthians 6:2. But also, folks, in other relationships, wait to see God lead it for you. That's how a love story is all put together. If we wait on him to do it, to put the pieces together the right way. Because you see, folks, we're susceptible to doing what? To putting the cart before the horse, to getting it out of whack. But if we'll leave it in God's hands, it'll work out. Now let's see how this closes and we're done. We'll come back next week and wrap the whole thing up. Is that okay? Anyone got a problem on that? All right, let's see what happens here. Verse 14, and she lay at his feet until the morning, and she rose up before one could know another, and he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. So in other words, this was not a done deal yet till all the procedures had been gone through, and Boaz wanted no form here of any kind of a question about what took place. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her, and she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. You see, this signified that Naomi was going to be brought under this as well, under the care of this near kinsman relationship with Boaz. Then she said, here it is, read it again in 18. Sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. Maybe today in someone's life or more here today, you're anxious about something. I'm going to offer you Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It's been on my heart a lot lately. You know what it says? Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wait. Let God move first. Wait. Be in rest, she said, until we have finished this thing this day. Now we are out of time. We'll come back next week and go. But I'll tell you what, there's some beautiful pictures yet that are to flow out of this. There's some more pictures again of Ruth waiting and resting and Boaz doing the things that God would have him to do in a godly way that brings this together with the result that you're going to find there of the marriage and the magnificent miracle's magnitude of a love story. I ask you today as we close, where are you at in your love story with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it lacking today? Has it never been established? Have you come under His skirt, so to speak, as a near kinsman? He wants that for you today. He's the God-man. He's fully God, but He's man. He understands what we went through, yet without sin. And He took us under His wing when He died there on the cross. He paid the price for every sinner there that day in His body, and He shed His blood to cover the sin of every person, if we'll what? If we'll receive it. If we'll receive it. And lastly today, as I started, what is your relationship today like with those around you that you encounter? Whether it be in the workplace, in your marriage, in your children, grandchildren, the church. What a sad thing I say that, as I say that, you know, many churches, and we've had that in the past, we've become rent asunder over crazy issues that Satan threw on the table. Today, folks, we want to see Fruitland Baptist Church go into history as a love story of people that love Jesus Christ and people that love one another. Take time today. Maybe there's someone here you don't know. As always, we have a flux of people in and out every day, every Sunday, and every time we meet. But take time today to show your concern with people for Jesus' sake. What kind of a walk are you and I in today? Let me just say this again in closing. What may flow out of that, and I already told you that David was the result of this, in this lineage, and eventually Jesus Christ, the God-man, both through Mary and Joseph, what may flow today out of us being involved and engaged again in a love story with the Lord and with one another? I think the possibilities are endless. Don't leave here discouraged today. Leave here encouraged. And leave here willing and ready to wait upon the Lord, but to operate in a way that brings triumph over tragedy in your life today. I'll just say this, folks. I can't save you, but God can. Jesus can. Today is the day to get into a love story with Him. And it's very simple, folks. There's no religiosity to it. There's no technicalities to it. But the Bible's very plain. If we'll understand that we're a sinner, that we're deficient before God, which every one of us can look in the mirror and we can see it, we're not right. But the Bible says if we will believe what Jesus did for us out of love, His love story, and we will receive that love and place our faith and trust in it, we will be saved. It's as simple as this, calling upon the name of the Lord, telling Him you need Him today. That's the greatest love story ever told. He's our near kinsman. I could have said a lot more, but the clock's done. So I'm going to say amen. Let's take our hymnals, or our handouts actually today, and stand. We're going to conclude with a song about the bond of love in Christ. I pray today if one has a question here that you would not leave this building till you set this straight with the Lord and with one another. Today's the day for restoration and for wonderful things to be unleashed as we come in humility before the throne of grace and we receive that grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the bond of love. If you're led to come forward today, I'll be here. I'll be around. I'll be glad to show you from God's Word about His love and how you can correct these situations through Jesus. But today's the day for you to respond to what we've seen in this story of Boaz and Ruth. Here we go. Love through Christ has brought us together, melting our hearts as one. By God's Spirit we are united, one through His blessed Son. We are one in the bond of love. We are one in the bond of love. We have joined our spirits with the Spirit of God. We are one in the bond of love. You can't say that today in your walk. Today's the day to approach our near kinsman, Jesus Christ, and to go to those around us and set these things straight and walk anew from this place today. Danny Wheeler, would you close today in prayer?
Say that, Lord, we thank you.